Hello, and thanks for joining me on another episode of the Tech Exec Podcast. I'm your host, Aviv Ben Yosef, and today we're going to be talking about minimizing politics. It can be quite astounding how fast we as humans can bring in politics into pretty much any size of company. If you have the right founding team and you chose your first hire as right, you hopefully don't have a lot of politics, as long as you're still about 10 people or less. But once you go a bit bigger, politics becomes something you have to manage. I know it sucks, and most technological people don't really want to do that, but this is an everyday thing that you have to make sure does not become a big deal. The other day I was talking to a CTO, and he told me, whenever I want to make a change, I have to get buy-in from 6 different people, and I'm a co-founder. And that is true. I see that everywhere, and you can only imagine how harder it's going to be if you're not a co-founder, but a hired CTO or VP of engineering. If you do not make sure that politics does not get out of hand, you will harm your team because you will not be able to sustain a speed of communication and decision-making that is good enough to work at an amazing level. And if you're trying to create an amazing team, they need to be able to work in such an environment. So how do we do that? There are a few key elements of causes of politics, and each and every one should be tackled differently. So let's go over them. First, there's you. As the leader, do you in the organization, in the C-suite, have enough clout in order to make decisions, in order to have your voice heard? Do you have a seat at the table in order to ensure that things are done properly, or at least to be involved in the process? This is where you, as a technological person, might not want to do the political part, but this is exactly the kind of politics that you have to be involved in. You have to elbow your way into a decision-making position, or at least to be one of the heard people in your organization, so that you will have impact on what then trickles down to your organization. If you don't have any say and you are treated as an executor or a point of contact for the execution team, again, you are simply in charge of an outsourcing company that sits in the same office, and you do not want to be that. Engineering should be an integral part of your business, and in order to achieve that, you have to make sure that you are as involved as the other executives in your company. So elbow your way to the table. Make sure you have a seat. Next, there's turf and ego issues. Inside your team, it is very common to see people starting to fight over stuff. I have a title that says X, and so I'm in charge of that. No one should be touching the mobile decisions because I'm the mobile architect. No one should be handling that microservice because that microservice is part of my team, and so on. These turf and ego issues are hell. You do not want to enable these for 1 second. You have to nip this in the bud and make sure that no one understands that this is acceptable behavior. To do that, first of all, as a preventive measure, you have to make sure that you do not have too much premature organization. I have an episode about premature organization, but to sum it all up, premature organization means that you are creating organization before you actually have the need, and so you're giving people all sorts of titles and positions and responsibilities, sometimes in order to make them feel important or in order to get that hire because that person used to do X at whatever company is coming from, and God forbid that person cannot do anything less important, with air quotes, in our company. Or simply you might be thinking that's the right thing to do, but you're bringing on a problem at a stage where you are not going to benefit from the advantages. You're only going to get all the bad stuff that comes with extra silos. So don't do that, and don't create titles and turfs unless you have to. Next, try and work in a cross-functional manner. If you can have squads that each is responsible on a domain and have those work together, you are reducing the friction. This is opposed to having teams of certain types of responsibilities, such as we have the front-end team, the back-end team, the data team, and so on. If you can put all of these people together and work on the same goal together, people do not need to cross borders as often, and so you have less turf wars. And lastly, make sure that you have a sane ownership structure. If there's something that many people need to touch, you need to ensure that people know when they can touch that and have a process set in place so that everyone can have a say if they are clients of that thing. And there's always the Facebook mentality of you can open everyone's code and create a pull request. And hopefully no one takes that in the wrong way. If you say in team meetings, in all hands, that you expect everyone to say whatever they see as problematic and demand it to be fixed and even to fix it themselves, even if it's not directly something they own, then people will understand that whenever Dave comes in and asks to fix something, it's not because he's trying to take over my turf, it's because he cares and we are all in this together. So make sure that people know that the ownership in your company does not mean that no one gets to play with that toy. Another politics issue is, of course, mismatched goals, which usually means that you're lacking team mentality as part of it. This also ties into your organizational structure. If you do not have cross-functional teams, it is very often the case where you see a team that depends on another team, but because they do not have aligned goals, the team that is blocking and waiting on something is going to be waiting for quite a while because whatever they need is not something the other team is going to be measured on, or at least it's not one of their top priorities. If you have the right structure, you can reduce these, but you also need to make sure that from the get-go, you align the OKRs of the different teams so that no resource is going to get starved. If there's something important in Team X and they depend on Team Y, make sure that Team Y is going to be measured by delivering on whatever they need. Success should be defined as something that you achieve as a team, as an organization, as a group. It is not something that a specific engineer does. And so if that microservice is done, is perfect, has no bugs, is actually the single most perfect piece of code ever written, no one cares if you do not make sure that you help your counterpart in the front-end team to make sure that whatever you just did is accessible to users. So success is not defined by I have my Jira tickets done. It is defined by did we as a team, as a group, achieve this milestone together? And so we either win together or we lose together. But there's no one that's going to be coming out and saying, I did my part. And lastly, you as the leader need to make sure that people understand that there's a one team mentality. People should be sharing knowledge. People should be working together and even swapping brains. If you can have people moving between teams temporarily every once in a while, that all helps with getting people to align and work better together and create a culture where people know one another and so care for each other, even if their goals might be misaligned a bit. Next is failure phobia. If you have an organization where failure is not something that is acceptable, then I am less likely to want to help or stick my neck out for someone else. And because of that, you have increase in politics between teams. I have an episode about handling failures and inducing safety in your organization in order for people to know that failure is an acceptable thing and in order to reduce just exactly these things. It's actually the previous episode, so go there. And lastly, another reason for politics is competition. And now we come to a place where I'm saying politics is healthy. You don't want people to always work together. I know it sounds weird, but in some scenarios, you might have healthy competition. If you have two teams working in order to show that they are best at what they do, that might be okay, as long as they're not trying to trip each other up and they're not setting each other up for failure. it just might be okay that each and everyone is trying to push for their own agenda in the roadmap. It might be okay that they are trying to get more, I don't know, budget and resources in order to go to different kinds of conferences, in order to host different kinds of meetups. Sometimes someone needs to be the winner, or someone is going to do a better job. And that is okay as long as it doesn't get into the previous kinds of things I've described, which is when this becomes unhealthy. As long as we are aligned, and whenever one team needs something from another team and that gets delivered on time, it just might be okay for them to have some sort of competition. Because, for example, if you're going to need to promote someone to become a new group leader in your organization, someone needs to be doing a better job. It's okay if two people who know that an opening will be made soon are trying to each show that they are better, as long as it's not harming the everyday work and there's just some politics and competition, that's okay. You need to accept that and you need to be aware of it. Because if you're not aware of it, that's an issue. But as long as you know what's happening in your team, that's fine, because you'll be able to see when a line might be getting crossed and stopping it when you should. And those are the five key reasons for politics in organizations. There's you, as the leader, needing to be a political animal of some sort. There's the turf and ego, mismatched goals, failure phobia, and competition. Make sure that you know how to spot these in your team and make sure to act on it so that you can prevent them or put a stop to them when you see them happening. That's it for this week. Thank you again for joining me. As always, keep in mind, I have a great newsletter. It is an amazing newsletter. It's the best newsletter you've ever seen it for tech executives, because it has this episode in it linked always, which is great. It has my weekly article and it has 3 key insights. If you're not subscribed, go to the link in the show notes right now and subscribe. I promise you it's going to be great. And if you don't like it, I'll give you your money back, I'm guessing. Thank you as always, and talk to you soon.